Lord, I thank you that your spirit would lead me this morning to do things that you want to do and talk what you want to talk about. There is so much that you spoke to me on this journey that you took. My heart was overwhelmed in love with you again, like crazy. I hope they fall in love again. I hope they fall in love again. And for those who've never fallen in love with Jesus, I pray you do so real quick. Amen. Raise your palms if you love him. Yeah. How about this? Raise a palm. Raise your right palm if he's ever done anything small for you. Yeah. Like maybe you prayed on the way to work. And like, please get all the green lights. I'm running like, please get all the green lights. You got all the green lights and you forgot you prayed it because then you got in the parking lot. God, please give me a parking spot. You need to thank him for the green lights and you're praying for the parking spot. And your palms are still up. You must relate to these prayers. Right. Right. Raise your palms up a second time if you're humble and grateful that he even knows your name. He even knows my name. Yeah. Yeah, right? Lift for Jesus alone today these palms. Today, just let your palms only be used for him today. Don't let your palms be used by the enemy. Ever had your enemy palms in your enemy? Yeah. I've been in the palms. Bad palms. Mm-hmm. Laid hands on people the wrong way. Right? Our palms should express our love to God because of what he did with his palms. Our palms should be expressing more love to God for what he did for his palms. He earned that love. No one else earned that. No one else earned that. That's the greatest love of your life. No one else earned that place. Right? Never did. Next week, we're going to talk about the resurrection and his nail-scarred hands and the purchases for the world. But I want a picture. I got a picture of palms up there in case you guys didn't know what palms are. That's what I'm talking about today. In case you got distracted with the branches, that's what I'm referring to. Those things. God gets you one of us, right? Right. I praise God. Our palms, man. Our palms can do a lot of things. Our palms are called in the body of Christ to praise. Our palms are called to give, not just finances, but hands up, hands out, right? A touch here, a touch there, a caress, a love, right? We're supposed to be palms for hire. No, palms for use. When we made the great exchange because what he did with his palms, we gave him our palms and said, now use them for whatever you want. We forgot that because our palms are busy building our kingdom for God. And we forgot to say, how do you want to use them? Yeah, I know that's a tough thing. But if we're going to be the church he's looking for, we got to have palms to heaven. Yeah. Right? Not palms in our pocket. Right. It's just, that's not even on the notes this morning. You shouldn't send me away if you don't want to hear everything. Right? I want to acknowledge the trip, man. Praise God for the little things, you know. Praise God for things like canceled flights not being canceled anymore. So grateful for that. What time are we getting on the plane? 1 a.m. What time do we have to get up? In 8 minutes. Let's go. We won't sleep for a couple days. We'll just get to the plane. And then you get to the airport and you go, okay. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Your phones are all going off at the same time. What's it mean? It's delayed. Of course it is. Of course it's delayed. Again. Till when? All day long in the airport with little children. I forgot the goodness of the trip. It's trying to steal from me. Right? Ever pray stuff like, please don't let me throw up on the plane? I prayed that prayer, and then I threw up on the plane, and then I also prayed, thank you, God, I just threw up on the plane. Ever pray to see like a dolphin, like something stupid like that? When is he dolphin? Lord, if you were down here, and if a dolphin would come up under the dock, right, it would be great. And I know you're busy, you're like king of everything, and the sea belongs to you, so surely you could move a dolphin into my proximity. But that's a bit, I know you're saving people, and I know it's cool if you don't answer that. I have no faith in that prayer anyways. I'm just kind of begging. But at the same time, can you do it? Ever prayed those prayers?
Yeah.
And then a dolphin showed up? Yes! And then you forgot about it till right there. Right. Ever pray that you'd pass a test at school? When you know you didn't deserve to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some of you were students like me. Never go to the SATs and take them like I did. That's a story for off the stage. We praise him for the little things he's done. But I want us to praise him for the big things his poems paid for too. So Easter, come out and let's talk a bit next Sunday about what his poems did for you. Okay. Palms up for Jesus one more time. Right. This Sunday service is really one of the days in his last week. Last week on the earth. What if you knew for sure you only had one more week with somebody? Not just somebody, but the somebody of your life. What if he only had one more week? But the crazy thing, the only person who knew it was him. Right? This is a small, slow drive. I don't want to rush my time with Jesus, you know? I don't want to. Never rush your time with Jesus. Because you never know you're going to get it again. John 12, 1 through 3. 6 days before the Passover, when they're celebrating the sacrifice of the Lamb and the resurrection of Israel from Judah, and Jesus went down to Bethany, where Lazarus was. Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. What? Is that scripture able to come up? Having a hard time? It's okay. Trust me, it's there. If you have your Bibles, it's John 12, 1 through 3. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, where Lazarus was. Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. It's a well-known fact. It's historically, it's fact. So get this. It says, so they gave a supper for him. You know what I thought about when I was reading it this week, Jasmine? I thought about someone like Jasmine was there. Jesus gets into town with Lazarus, like, hey, Jesus is coming, yeah. And the guy he raised from the dead, like the whole thing, hey, pastor, can we get a supper in town? She does that when an apostle comes in town. And he didn't do nothing for you. Right? Hey, can we do this? Yeah, I guess so. It's just an apostle. He's with a pork chop, trust me. You know? But someone like Jasmine was in the midst of the crowd. They said, hey, he's in town with Lazarus. Let's have a supper. Let's do a dinner. Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those. Say, one of those. Man, to be one of those. And Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. First of all, Lazarus got to be thinking one thing. I'm not dead. I was dead before Jesus. I remember what dead felt like. And I'm not dead. Though I complain like I'm dead, I know what dead is. Richard Cook knows what dead is. He came back. He had to let go of his bride, just like Jesus says. Mary can tell you what dead feels like. I have a small piece of dead I felt. So Lazarus, first thing, reclining at that table, he should remember. I remember when I was dead. And the second thing is, I'm kicking back with Jesus. What? Yeah, we're reclining at the table with him. Like, we are chilling. You know, reclining is not like we're sitting. Like, we are. I just picture draped on, you know, Jesus, can I have some of your dip in your bread? Yeah, that's fantastic. What vineyard is this from? It's great. It pairs well with the Lamb. You know, what are we doing today? What are we doing today, Jesus? Why? Because ever since I wasn't dead, all I want to do is be with you. Oh, I know. Then the coolest thing happened. Then Mary took a pound of very expensive, say very expensive. Very expensive. How expensive was it? Mm-hmm. A pound of very expensive pure nard. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. Imagine just crushing dinner back, reclining with Jesus. And all of a sudden, something really expensive that you know is crazy smells. Like, how do you even get that? And all of a sudden, Jesus is having dinner, and she just busts it open and pours it on Jesus' feet. See, we know from this end, but I want you to be there. Don't be here like you read this story before. Be there. Because if you're not there, you won't get how to live here. If you can't live in this moment, what's going on the way to the cross, then you're going to have a hard time living here. So get there this morning, okay? Mary took a pound of very expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Say, awkward. Because it sounds great. Oh, well, I would do that. Would you? Some of you pay $120 for your hair to get done. Some of you spend all sorts of time making your hair look beautiful. And the Bible actually says of women and their hair. This is a biblical quote. Right? What does it say, women? You know, somebody knows. It's her glory. Miss Mary gave up her glory one time, her hair, for Jesus. How often we want to give up the thing that really makes us precious and awkward and so. Right? She was in the house, and it says, the house was filled with fragrance of perfume. I got a picture of dirty feet. And I want to dare to say that these feet probably aren't as probably dirty as Jesus was at the time, because he didn't know she's washing his feet. He's been walking through Jerusalem in dusty towns. And you know, back then roads weren't paved and animals went to the bathroom right in the street and people went to the bathroom in the street and it was muddy and the weather and stuff. So feet were nasty. It's not like, oh, I know some of you pictured, oh, and she took her hair. It was so silky and combed out perfectly, and every streak was colored, and it was where I wanted it. My beautiful hair, my silky hair for Jesus. And then his beautiful, wonderful, I could just kiss his feet. No! They were nasty, nasty feet. They belonged to Jesus, but they were nasty. So get that in your head. She took her hair, and she rubbed it right there. She took her glory for Jesus' dirt, her pride for her Savior. That's part of the message, but I can't stay there because you guys got stuff to do. John 12:4-8 says, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he looked like he was a disciple, some talk like the disciples, some walk with the disciples, some are close by, but they're not always disciples. You find that out. Look, you know, sometimes in the church, it quack like a duck, look like a duck, don't mean it's a duck. They have a bumper sticker. It says Judas, one of his disciples who was going to betray him. And here's a good place to get off our high horse right away. Seriously, this is me, and I hope this helps you if this is you. We should check ourselves. We should be humble in this moment. Because if he didn't betray Jesus, it would have been you. At some point in time, you are not Jesus, so you would have betrayed Jesus. That really should help us sometimes with one another a little bit. The one who was going to betray him. And here's the thing. Not only is it just Judas, but guess what? Who's going to betray him later? Peter. Yeah. And guess who else? Pastor Sean. Guess who else? Richard Cook. Some point in time, one of us will tell you a story how we missed our opportunity to use our palms for Jesus and we used them for ourselves. Judas said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? You're like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Right? Honestly, if, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some equivalent. Someone came in here and all this money got dumped into impact offering and we gave it all of it to men. That's my impact offering. Yeah, you gave it to God. Let him do what he wants to it. Right? But Judas, sometimes you think, why? It's a waste. It's a waste. Now, he said this not because he cared about the poor, for he never cared about them, but because he was a thief. Say, he looked like a disciple, but he was a thief. And since he had the money box serving as treasurer for the 12, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Say, that's a bad move, Judas. That's a bad move, Judas. I've seen it happen in the body of Christ over and over again, though. Church planters are just raking the coals for money. Not every big church does that, and not every church that asks an impact off, and every church that gives, and every church that builds, but there are those out there. And a part of being shepherd in the body of Christ, I try my best when they try to come here, I try to go, thou shalt not pass! You know? I work on that. Boom! I try to sniff out wolves like nobody's business. I walk around my staff in my pocket. Why? Because I hate that. Yeah. I hate it. It says, why was it not? Jesus said to her, let her alone. Jesus said, back off. Ever have Jesus tell someone in your life, back off? Man, if you walk with him, it's been so good. When Jesus comes along and someone's just judging you and grilling you and they think they got why you made that decision and they are just casing you for it, and all of a sudden something they don't know comes along and God comes along and goes, back off. And you go, oh, dang, I was judging Panda. I shouldn't have been doing that. Panda was washing Jesus' feet at that moment. I was judging her. So, back off, let her alone, so that she may keep the rest of it for the day of my burial. Okay, when are you going to die? We all know it soon. They don't. Be in the story. Jesus, for the day of my burial. So when are you going to die? Like 30, 40 years, she wants to keep this jar of ointment around. That's pretty expensive. Makes sense. She should just keep it around for that day. When good old Jesus, maybe we'll be reclining with Jesus in our 80s, you know. Peter have a fishing company because God had blessed him because he'd been praying for a blessing over his business. So maybe we're all just, yeah, Jesus, that's a good idea. Say they didn't know. You always had the poor with you, he said. Well, so much for ever completely fixing that issue. We tried to with the body of Christ as best we can, but it's not ever going to be fixed. You know why? Mostly because people are dumb with their money. And people are selfish. Those two reasons are the why. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Raise your palms. We know what's coming. John 12:9. A large crowd of Jews learned that he was there at Bethany. And they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. They're looking at your resurrection life and they want to know if Jesus is real. You had your palms up, so you were dead once. You had your palms up, God rescued. You had your palms up, you got all green lights. You had your palms up, you passed your test. You had your palms in the air, like you just don't care, help me. And he has. And the world is looking at you just like he's looking at Jesus. They came not only that day to see Jesus, they came to see Lazarus. He was a draw. Is our life a draw? Or is it a repellent? Is our judging repelling? Is our lack of character repelling? Both sides of the fence stinketh. You know? A large crowd learned that he was there at Bethany. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus and he's raised from the dead. You know, sometimes checking out your story, it's good to test your disciple card. How am I doing? Really? So the chief priests, their response was, they plan to kill Lazarus also. Serving God can be hazardous. It could be hazardous to your reputation, to your pocketbook, to all the choices you ever made in your life because you said that your palms were for him. So if he tells you to pick up and move to Egypt, what right do you have to say no? Your palms were his. But I'm proud to be an American Christian, at least where I make my own choices. Whoa, it's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Get back into it, Pastor. So the chief priests planned to kill Lazarus because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away from the traditionals and believing in Jesus. What? The gospel was preached before he was dead. Because one guy's life was changed. How many people need to know about your life being changed? and need to keep your life being changed. Why? So you can impact those for Jesus. On account of him, many were coming and believing in Jesus. Isn't that the point of your new life? Seriously, when you come to Jesus, isn't that the point of our new life? It's not blessed answered prayers. I got saved so I could have blessed answered prayers. I could be highly favored. That's why I got saved, for highly favored. Well, I got saved so I could be the head and not the tail. That's my salvation choices. You know, I use my VC to buy those things. You know, that's not the point. Your life is supposed to impact non-believers and those religiously disconnected from him. That's the point. Say, that's the point. Say, that's what my palms are for. Yeah. John 12:12-19. The next day, when large crowds had come to the Passover feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they must have had like Facebook posts blowing up. Jesus coming, repost, get it. Jesus coming, what you gonna, you're gonna go to the Jesus Festival, he's coming. They took branches of palm trees and homage to him as king. Now that's quite a statement. That's a visual commitment in front of the world. This guy's king. Well, that sounds great to us because we can say, I voted for this guy, not that guy. No one's going to come and shoot you in the head. But in this situation, there's a lot of jealous kings going on and fighting for the world. And to say, no, no, none of these guys are king. Jesus is king. Those palms were visual commitments. It seems like this fun kids thing was waving, and it was a party, and it was. Like, it was a festival. Fiesta forever, all night long. Woo-hoo! And Lionel Richie wasn't there, but it was probably playing, you know? And it was going, I'm fasting secular music, so I find that it's creeping out of my pores at times. I've been fasting it, and you'd be, the randomest songs, but I pop my head, Lord. He's like, I know, that's why you're fasting. I said, okay. Fast something that will help you. But have you ever made a palms up, broad daylight commitment right out in front of people and had witnesses? If you're married, raise your hand. You did it then. Right out in broad daylight in front of witnesses. You made a commitment. I was there for some of y'all commitments. So when you come back for counseling, go, I was there for the commitment. So we're going to do the work, right? Why? Because you made a commitment. Have you ever put your hands up before God? Have you ever put your hands up before God and made a commitment? And surrender first, right? That's where it starts. That's the first place your commitment comes, is surrender, right? How about second, ever surrendered your palms to him in praise? How about in a commitment to, and fill in the blank, whatever you signed up for, I signed up, Jasmine, I made a commitment. I'm on the cleanup crew. I'll be there, right out in broad daylight. So I got to be there. But it started before then. It started when I signed my name. I made a commitment. God's looking for committed palms. He's looking for committed palms, not those that look like disciples and smell like disciples and walk with disciples and say the same things that disciples say. He's looking for palms that want to say he's king. Yeah. And so looking for those. And it says, he went out, and they went out to meet him, and they began shouting and kept shouting. Shouting and kept shouting. You thought Mark and I were irritating during praise and worship? Imagine we just kept it rolling. We're still doing it. We're still praising about, like, we got to go. That church's crazy. They're loud, and I don't know what's going on. Right? They began shouting and kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed. Celebrated, praised is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. That sounds cool here because it's part of our praise and worship. Back then they're saying, this is the Messiah that we've been waiting for the rest of our whole lives, from generation to generation. This is the one true King who's come to liberate Israel spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And he is higher than any king that ever was and ever will be. He's here. That's what they're saying. In broad daylight. And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, just as it was written in Scripture. Do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming seated on a donkey. Okay, first of all, you can look at that picture where he's riding it like a baller. You know, he's got his caddy lowered, and he's popping down the avenue. You know, maybe. He did it to fulfill Scripture, it says, right? That's one reason. I start thinking about what other reasons maybe God did that. And I sat quiet for a while and just pondered it. I started thinking about that. His flesh was going to need all he had to climb the hill to Calvary. Maybe God was trying to energize his bodysuit for one last run. Because Jesus has been through a lot, been drawn on, had to draw away, feed the multitude. The Pharisees want to kill him every stop. And now they want to kill his friends. And hey, Jesus, get on the donkey. You're going to get the glory you deserve. And also your bodysuit might need a rest because you're about to make a climb that it's going to cost you your life. Maybe the Father knew that. I don't know. Maybe that was just something I'm thinking about. His disciples did not understand the meaning of these things at first. Ever been there? Ever have some reread something in Scripture and go, I don't know. What? Oh, yeah. Or someone give you a word from God. I had a dream the other night that you were a pigeon, and this pigeon was really excited because it turned into a flamingo, and then it turned into an eagle, and then you flew around the nations. You're like, cool. So what's that mean? Right? Ever have that happen? Yeah, okay. What's the dream book say about pigeons, eagles, flamingos? I don't know, man. Right. Have you ever been walking with Jesus and simply come to something and said, I don't know what you're talking about right now? If you haven't, maybe you don't know Christ at all. Or maybe you're just a know-it-all. If every time God speaks a thing, you think you know the exact interpretation for your life or anyone else's life, you might just be a know-it-all. And God doesn't want us to be a know-it-all. And he throws things at us to discover him and to encourage us sometimes when we're at our lowest. And he pops it at the right time, right? I read Jesus pop it at the right time. You're about ready to like, this is the worst minute. I can't take 1 minute. And you really can't take 1 minute. And all of a sudden God decides, boop. All right, I can take another minute. Right? But when Jesus was glorified and exalted, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, they saw that, and yet they're still confused about this verse of Scripture. That's okay. Right? God's still doing things in your life. You just don't know what the big picture is all the time. If you would have asked me when I was 20 if I was going to live in Apache Junction, Arizona, I thought you were crazy. You're going to be a pastor somehow. Uh-huh, sure I am. Friday. You got kicked in the head when you were little. I don't know. These people saw great miracles, still didn't see, you know. But here's the cool thing. The people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to tell others about him. Put your palms up. You know how many times I share your story? Your Lazarus stories in my life. You know how many people I've encouraged with the things that you've gone through victoriously that you're allowed for me to share? Sometimes the names are changed to protect the innocent. But the stories are told. And people go, if God can rescue her from that, then maybe he can rescue me. If God can deliver them from that, if God can get them out of prison, if God can do that for them, then maybe I'll come check your Jesus out, or at least church. Ever had that happen? All of us are probably somehow connected to Jesus because of something like that. Right? The people with him started collecting. It says, For this reason, the crowd went to meet him because they'd heard that he performed this miraculous sign. Right? Honestly, in the history of Israel, it could be argued, you know, the greatest miracle of all time was Lazarus' resurrection. A guy coming back from the dead. Documented dead, coming back because Jesus said to. Right? But here's the crazy thing. It was just a side hustle for the greatest miracle ever. All it was with the pregame. He got them excited about it. You like that? Like, Lazarus come back from dead. He's walking around. Like, is that cool? Is that cool? Real cool? Y'all, come on. You believe in me because of Lazarus? Wait till you see this. Wait till you see this. You thought what I did in Lazarus is great for Lazarus. What I'm about to do for you is the greatest miracle that ever will be. Because none of you are going to have to stay in the graves of hell. Because I'm about to come back all by myself. I don't need no help from nobody. I'm going down to take care of business. My father sent me on a mission. My palms are going to be used. Yep. Lazarus was a great miracle. Your life's a great miracle. Yep. But don't write books and books about how your miracle is. And always just tell your story. Your story needs to be told, but it needs to end up pointing at Jesus. Don't build your kingdom. Some people build churches and ministries around their story. And it becomes about them. It's never supposed to be that. It's just a drawing card. You're just the side hustle to Jesus. You know. Then the Pharisees argued. They often do, right? Pharisees often argue. People that are arguing religion all the time, you're always arguing. If you're always arguing with somebody, if you're on Facebook, always in a fight, wait. The Pharisees argued and said to one another, "You see that your efforts are futile. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Say, if only. If only the whole world gone after him. They had an opportunity. They had an opportunity. What if the whole world had ran after him because of the miracle of you? See, the whole world ran after him not because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Why did they run after Jesus? Lazarus. Put your palms up if you've been a Lazarus. God's raised you from some kind of dead way of life. And if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, you've died to sin. It says you become a new man. So if you're not dead, you're not born again. So the question really is, if you're not born again, we can take care of that because he wants to come into your life and rescue you from death, hell, and the grave. That's the greatest miracle of ever. That's the hands raised up. So if you've never got that, please come see me after church because that's what he wants. That's the point. It's the point. But what if the whole world ran after him, not away from him, because of you? Not because of new season. Not because Pastor Heidi's so cute and great. Not because Hannah can sing so good the angels want to join in. Not because Miley has cool shoes, though she often does. Right? What if the whole world in your life ran after him because of you? Say, that's what my palms are for. Your story should send people running to Jesus. John 12:20. Now there were some Greeks, Gentiles, among those who were going to worship at the feast. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. So check it out. Unchurched are coming to request something of a church guy. I'm putting that in simple terms. A Gentile, a heathen, was going to talk to a Jew, a disciple of Jesus, and they had a request. Can you take me to Jesus? Can the world come to you, and can you take them to Jesus? Can you take them? No, send them to Ethos Counseling to get saved. Can you take them to Jesus? Can your life lead people to Jesus? And if not, it's time to die again and let your palms be used. It's time to humble ourselves so he can use us again, right? It said, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Palms up. That's all of us, brother. I hear you, right? It's a little conflictual for this group, though. Like these church leaders, sometimes as church leaders, and this, I'm Pastor Heidi, please forgive me for exposing this, and we can be up something later, and I love you. But sometimes as church leaders, we don't always know what to do right away. I know you expect us to. I know that's expected. But it's not always true. I get hit with stuff and go, I think this, but I got to, can I have a minute with Jesus or like a week or a month with Jesus? Because that's a big question to ask me. Just saying. And so what did they do? Philip came and told Andrew, he goes, hey, these guys want to see Jesus. What do we do? I'm not making that decision by myself. Get wise counsel. Go to brother. If you feel like Jesus is calling you, something's calling you to do something for Jesus or want to do something, before you just go, get some wise counsel. Get a brother that you can listen to. I actually sat with an older sister and let her tell me stuff that I didn't want to hear. I called a spiritual mother and let her tell me stuff I didn't want to hear. And so at some point, you got to listen to somebody. Or you're maybe know-it-all. Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew went to Philip, and they went and told Jesus. Excellent job, guys. Whenever you have a question, you don't know how to answer it, go get the answer from Jesus. Like, yeah. Even if you're like, well, I met with Pastor Ron, I still have an answer. Perfect. Go ask Jesus. You know, that'd be good. If you're a disciple. And Jesus answered them. Okay, so what's the question? I forgot it already. The question is this. Hey, can we, the Gentiles, can we come? Can us unsaved, us uncircumcised, us not accepted by your culture and society, is Jesus going to let us in? Yeah. Jesus answered them, the hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. Say true. But also, I have no idea what that has to do with the question. Huh? What was he really saying at that moment? It was a sign to him to go, it's time. Maybe his father had a code word. Hey, you'll know. When the Gentiles start running after you, get your affairs in order. When you see this, so Jesus is reclining at the table, right? Just got his feet washed, his donkey ride in, so he's feeling good. Hey, everyone wants to see you. I know they want to see Lazarus. I know it's crazy stuff. Hey, and these people that don't know God, they want to come and see you too. And that's crazy to us. What do you think? Well, that means it's time for me to go, fellas. I'll be leaving you soon. They asked, can these guys come see you? And he said, it's time now. And then he said this, John 12:24. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone, it's just one grain. But if it dies and produces much, it yields a harvest. And you're still thinking, put yourself in that minute. You go, yes, Sensei. What does that mean, Yoda? I said, can these fellows come and see you? And you're talking about grains of wheat falling in the earth and dying and producing more wheat. This is a botany class? Speak up, because it's loud in here. Lazarus, thump. Maybe turn the music down. Jesus didn't hear the question. I asked him, can the Gentiles come in? And you said, I got to die, or some's got to die. What's he talking about? Jesus, you need to get out of the heat. Is that perfect? The perfume making you dizzy is making the rest of us dizzy. It fills the room, you know? So maybe get Jesus some air. He needs to hear the question. But if it dies and produces much grain, it yields a harvest. The one who loves his life eventually loses it through death. But the one who hates his life in this world and is concerned with pleasing God will keep it. Man, that's what our palms are for. Keep it for life eternal. What? He said, listen, fellas, I'm about to do something that's going to give you life eternal. And you got to be only concerned from one thing from this point forward and nothing else. So the rest of the air that you breathe, your only job is to die for me and use your palms to please God. If anyone serves me, he must, say must, continue to faithfully follow me. If anybody serves me, he must continue to faithfully follow me. Doesn't mean you're not going to fall down. Oh, Jasmine fell down. She must not be a good follower. Let's kick dirt in her face. That's how it usually happens. No, come on. The body of Christ has been carnivorous. Oh, my hand is injured. Let's chew it off and put a newspaper article out about it. Oh, look, why don't we just try to bind up the wound and pour the oil and the wine and put a good eye care on it and put shepherds around it to make sure that the wolves are... Oh, but someone falls down and we kick them to the ground. Not new season anymore. We don't do that anymore. The church is growing, right? But here's another truth. If anyone say they serve me, must continue to follow me. Without hesitation, holding steadfastly to me. What's the next word? Conforming. Say conforming. There's a word we don't like. I'm an original. I'm a child of God. I'm an American. I make choices. No. Faithfully follow me without hesitation, conforming to my example in living. How I conducted myself, conform to that, and you conduct yourself the same. And whenever you're not conducting yourself the same, get your butt in line. Conforming to my example in living, and if need be, say if need be in suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. Put your hands up. Say, help us, Lord. What if that could be said of us? And whether I am in heaven's glory, whenever I'm there, there you will my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. See, that's amore. What, man, if you serve? He's like, man, if you serve my son. If you serve my son, who did all this for you. If you believe in the thing I sent to change the world and trust in his palms and you give your palms over to my son, I'm going to honor you. Man, you want to bless a real parent? I'm talking about real parents. Some of us weren't raised by real parents. I'm talking about real parents. Maybe you saw the Cleavers. Maybe you saw the Brady Bunch. Maybe you know the Wilsoncrafts. Real parents. If you bless one of their kids, oh, you are like, I don't know, Randy, I'm afraid she's going to punch me in the mouth. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bless all her kids and her grandkids. And at some point in time, I guarantee the woman will go, I got to know this person. Why you're loving on my grandkids? That's my favorite thing. That's what the Father's saying. You follow my son? You're going to follow my son? You're going to accept the sacrifice of his palms? Are you going to lose your life for him? Are you actually going to give your life as a gift to my son? I will honor you for eternity. That's what that's saying. See, that's amore. That's amore, right? I'll close it up today. See, we're getting late. But this is a long walk for Jesus. Maybe after Easter, I'll come back and we'll finish the walk. Maybe I'll do this in reverse order. I don't know. But here's a great summarization lesson on how to use his palms and ours next. And I'll end with this verse. John 12:27. Jesus says, now my soul is troubled and deeply distressed. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour or trial and agony. How many times? How many times do we say things like that on a regular? God, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this. This is hard. It's distressing. I'm actually asking, is it you or the enemy doing this to me? Ever ask that question? If you're not, be honest. Be honest. Don't be, I'm a super Christian and I've never doubted. Bull. Bull. I always hear God 100% of the time. Bull. Says we prophesy in part. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled and deeply distressed. What shall I say? Save me from this hour of agony? But it is for this very purpose my palms came into the earth. It is for this very purpose. We forgot our purpose, church. Our palms became our own. We stopped lifting them up to him. Our palms were purchased with a price. But it's for this very purpose that I have come to this hour. Say this hour. He'll come right to the hour you're in. I'm so glad he came to that hour, but he's come to my hour too. He's come to my hour. For this very purpose, I have come to this hour and this time. How many know our time needs Jesus right now? They need Lazarus out there, and they need following Jesus real hard. They need palms serving God, right? And serving grace and serving righteousness. Both things together, right? We need that working in the church again. For this very purpose, I have come for this hour, for this time, and say, for this place. Where you're at is the place he's asked you to start using your palms. Jesus said, I'm in this place for this time at this hour. What hour are you in? What are your palms involved with? What are your palms doing? With your hours, with your time, and with your place on this planet. It is time that our palms get back connected to the King of Kings. The one we declared right out in broad daylight, right in front of everybody, that we promised that day, that baptism, I promised I was going to give him my heart and he could have it. If he said, go to Zimbabwe, I said yes in that moment. And I got so comfortable over the time period. I sat around for I knew it. And I just served Jesus. I just give money. I just pray. But I'll not, like, what happened to the commitment? What happened to following the king and not being kings?
Yeah.
See, the party is coming in and Jesus is being honored. And in the midst of that honor, he says to them, it's important you know about death. It's important you know about what my palms are about to do, right? And it's for this purpose, you guys. You think I came in to just bless your lives and have donkey rides and people would recognize us and Lazarus would get a really great Facebook following and they would be, he'd have Lazarus Church in the north, Lazarus Church in the south, Lazarus Church here, Lazarus Bland, we could Bland Lazarus, the Lazarus Resurrection Church. I didn't come for none of that. I didn't come for none of that. I think it's time to make commitments again on Palm Sunday. Excited commitments. I remember he saved me. He rescued me from some death. And he daily answers my prayers. I think it's time to make a commitment. If you're ready and you want to put your palms up right out in broad daylight with me, I'm going to ask you to in a second. I want to remind you, has Jesus ever healed you ever? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, ever? Has he ever revealed something to you and not told anybody else, and then it came to pass, you went, oh my goodness, I heard God. The things he told me, they're going on in our state right now. He told me 8 years ago in my sabbatical, and people in the church said I was nuts. Arizona made changes, and I saw it happen. God told me. There's things that God has told me that were so much more important than my physical healing. Because my soul needed to know I was not alone. He was there and he's always going to be there and his palms will never stop reaching me. That's the greatest revelation I ever needed to have. So sometimes we forget the revelations that saved our lives. Right? Are you ready to be used for bigger things than you've ever been used for in your life? So if you've ever touched your palms and you want to thank him, I'm going to ask you to stand with your hands in the air. If you feel like he's called you to do something greater with your palms, you to do it, stand with your hands in the air. If he's ever done a single thing you think he's worthy of receiving, some kind of uncomfortable offering in the midst of people right out in broad daylight, raise your hands in the air. See, because disciples love him with their palms up. They raise them up and they lay them down. Our palms up is a sign of surrender. Our palms up are a sign of praise. Our palms up are a sign of repentance. Our palms up are a sign of, I can't do it on my own. Right? Are you ready to break the expensive values of the things you used to hold as important in the world? Are you? What if he's asking for the thing that you value? Maybe you value your neighborhood. Maybe you value your career. I'm not saying he's asking you for those things, but could he? Or are you holding them like this with your palms? Are we holding on to things that he asked us to hold up? Have you ever made a commitment in your heart, said, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be used. I want my palms to be on the wheels of your love, and I want to see it roll through time. I want to be in that number. I want to be somehow, God, impactful. I use my story for someone else to know you. Has that ever been you? Put your hands up. You're committing right out in raw daylight right now, in public, to be used. I pray this be the most impactful Palm Sunday the church has known since the first one. And globally, the church's palms would be raised in praise and raised in surrender and linked hand in hand. Father God, there'd be no division in the body of Christ because we are so busy with our hands raised to you for assignments, for praise, for surrender, for repentance, for grace. Our hands are continually palms up, raised up. Palm Sunday is the way that we live. So I am the church, and Palm Sunday is the way I live. Thank you for praying me home. I love you all very much. I look forward to seeing you Easter Sunday.